Bayern versus Real Madrid had a lot to live up to, but their semi-final first leg delivered and more. A European Clasico that finished 2-2 in Munich. We'll break down the game and preview another encounter in Germany as Borussia Dortmund prepare to host Paris Saint-Germain in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly. It finished Bayern 2, Real Madrid 2 in Germany. European football expert Alvaro Romeo is with me to review Tuesday night's drama. First of all, on reflection, Alvaro, a brilliant game and maybe a fair result.
Maybe a fair result, yeah. I will agree with that. Four goals in this game. The change in the game for me was Bayern coming in the second half with more belief. They lost the first half 1-0, but in the second half, a few players who have the individual quality and the individual skill to do something special, different, did it. Leroy Sané being clearly the guy who, you know, hit the headlines at the beginning of the second half with a lovely, lovely goal. Then Bayern scored the second. They could have scored the third. They didn't do it. And then Real Madrid, as they always do, they always have an extra bullet. And they used it. And Vinicius scored that equalizer that leaves everything very open for the encounter at Santiago Bernabeu. I believe that Real Madrid are going to feel very confident about playing the second leg at home because they haven't played, or they haven't lost, sorry, a tie in the Champions League at home since 2019. That happened against Ajax. But Bayern, on the other hand, showed that there are many competitive performances in their legs. Maybe the Bundesliga, they haven't had the best possible season, but here in the Champions League, they have competed against the champion of 2022, and they have competed very well.
Well, let's remind you of how the action unfolded then. The 14-time winners, Real Madrid, visiting the 6-time winners, Bayern. Richard Connolly was your match commentator.
The stop-and-go run by Vinicius Jr. has been played in by Kroos. There it is! Out of nothing, they strike! Absolutely deadly! Toni Kroos's pass. Vinicius Jr. made the run towards him, then went the other way, and in the flash of an eye, it was in the goal.
And this is proper Real Madrid, destroying you in the counter. Toni Kroos had a lot of time on the ball to think, to look around, and with his panoramic vision, he sent the ball to Vinicius. Beautiful goal.
Bayern come forward. Sané into the box, drives it in! He scored! Leroy Sané! And the roofs come off in Munich. Harry Kane from the penalty spot against Andrei Lunin. Kane scores! A little stutter and a side foot into the corner.
We're at 4 minutes of football, really. First of all, the goal of Leroy Sané, and now this one from Harry Kane. Not only 43 goals this season in as many games, but also in total, 7 goals in the Champions League.
Vinicius Junior is the man from the penalty spot for Real Madrid. Takes steps to his left, comes forward and scores! So calmly, so effectively. Two chances tonight, 2 goals. Vinicius Junior, Bayern 2, Real Madrid 2.
We can bring in Richard now. Richard, brilliant game. And it's probably worth just going through it in chronological order to start. And of course, that big news really from a Bayern point of view was Thomas Müller was starting, which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, Thomas Müller from the start. He hadn't been involved for a single minute in either of the Arsenal games. And we were expecting the name of Rafael Guerrero, I think, on the team sheet at the beginning. But no, Müller got the nod, with Musiala perhaps moving out to a slightly wider position. And really, from the word go, I think it was the start that every Bayern supporter would have hoped for, that Thomas Tuchel would have demanded. A start of real intensity. And actually, I think for the first 15 minutes, Real Madrid were struggling to get with the speed of the game. Their plan was clearly to sit back and try and play on the counter-attack, but they left a lot of room that Bayern almost exploited, almost straight from the kickoff, and they really probably should have led inside 45 seconds. Leroy Sané was played in brilliantly by a combination of Mazraoui and Kane, and from the angle, Lunin produced a terrific save. But really, there was no let-off from the Bayern pressure from the first 15 minutes or so, and Sané had created a half a chance for Kane. There was another Sané chance played through by Kane, which he didn't make the most of. Musiala put one over the top in the first 12 minutes. They were all really good opportunities, so it was really completely against the run of play when Real Madrid took the lead with, you know, one of these moments of top quality, running off the ball from Vinicius and then back in behind. Kroos saw the run, played the pass, and it was 1-0. And we wondered whether that had set the narrative, whether Real Madrid were going to produce another performance of kind of the utmost efficiency, and a team playing more of the football was going to be beaten. We've kind of done that one to death, haven't we, over the last few months and years. But that wasn't the case, and Bayern really came out in the second half and made a terrific fist of it. Leroy Sané scored a wonderful goal, didn't he? I mean, he's you know, it's been everything but the goal from him over recent months. But here he took a pass from Lima and really went directly straight for goal with that real confidence and authority. The ball seemingly stuck to his laces, dribbled into the box, thumped it in at the near post, 1-1. Shortly afterwards, a penalty, Bayern in front, 2-1. And then it could have gone further in their direction before the late equaliser from the penalty spot from Real Madrid, who, of course, never gave in. So it was a wonderful game, always absorbing. There were always several narratives playing out in your mind. I'm sure it was true if you were playing in it or a fan in the stadium too, because it could have gone wildly in different directions. 2-2 in the end sets up the second leg perfectly. What more could you ask?
The first goal, scored by Vinicius Jr., was this extraordinary moment of understanding and bamboozlement as well, the working between Kroos and Vinicius Jr., Alvaro.
Yes. Toni Kroos had the ball on his feet probably one too many seconds. Bayern will be thinking, why did we leave Toni Kroos time to think? Because when Toni Kroos has that, a little bit of panorama in front of him, he's one of the best passers in the world. Before he gave his pass, and I encourage everyone to look for this in social media, Toni Kroos moves his hand a little bit, telling Vinicius, go on the right, go on the right, because that's where the space is. I don't know if Vinicius saw that or not, but it was a reflex, instinctive movement by Toni Kroos. He's a natural leader, a natural passer, and a natural controller of what's happening around. His pass was perfect. He sent the ball with his feet where his hand wanted the ball to go. And then Vinicius scored. He scored in front of Manuel Neuer, a quick 1-1. Vinicius didn't miss. And that was a downer for Bayern in reality, because as Richard was saying, they had the chance to score after 40, 45 seconds. They didn't do it. They had most of the possession in the first half. Real Madrid, in fact, didn't have the first long possession on the ball until the 32nd minute of the game, according to the notes I've been taking during the game. But if this game proves something, is that Bayern's defense and Real Madrid's defense, they are vulnerable to sudden spasms of football. If Real Madrid accelerated or if Bayern accelerated, both defenses suffered. So this is very promising for the second leg, because I'm expecting something like this again.
We often speak about Real Madrid this season as in the post-Benzema era, post-Ronaldo era, as maybe not having a natural centre-forward in the team. But we've seen throughout the season how Bellingham can arrive in centre-forward's positions and be effective. The movement from Vinicius for that first goal was textbook centre-forward movement. The way that he came towards the ball to draw the centre-back out of the defensive line and then darts back, changes direction with such alacrity, goes back the other way, therefore creating the passing lane. His movement towards the ball also drawn Konrad Lima in from the midfield, because they were so worried about the ball going into Vinicius's feet. He took both his marker, Kim, and Lima out of the play with that initial movement. Then the movement back in behind begs Toni Kroos to roll the pass into that channel, and there's no escape from Bayern from then on. I mean, I think centre-forwards of experience and knowledge will be purring at that movement, of course, and the finish from Vinicius. It was top class.
Kane's penalty, of course, made it 2-1, a very composed penalty. He didn't actually do many of these stuttery kind of penalties in England, but he's had a couple of them now. He did one against Arsenal and has done one against Real Madrid. What did you make of his overall performance, Alvaro, and what he brought to the table today for Bayern?
Look, he always brings something to the table, that's for sure. I think that he drops deep and he does that very well. And if he wouldn't drop deep, he would give problems to any defender as well, because if he crashes body with body, if it's about duels and being near the striker, Harry Kane is a tough nut to crack. But if he drops deep, he is also a very good footballer, because he can act as a bonus midfielder. The only problem is, and it happened more in the first half than in the second, I have to say, is that Harry Kane was dropping so deep that sometimes when he was recovering the ball and passing it to the winger or to someone else, there was no one in the box. That was corrected in the second half. Bayern had to attack more. Harry Kane has had some chances in the box. But in the first half, I think that Harry Kane dropping deep was a blessing and a curse at the same time, because then Bayern didn't have a number nine in the box.
What did the Guerrero change? I mean, we don't know what happened with Leon Goretzka yet, but what did that change at halftime do for Bayern?
My instinct is that Thomas Tuchel was trying to seek out more overloads in wide positions, and that while Guerrero, away from the ball, was sitting centrally, it was being encouraged when they had the ball to move out to the left to try and work a triangle on that side of the field. Musiala was out there, and on the left-hand side, Mazraoui was out there for the majority of the game before Davies came on. And I think he was trying to encourage those kind of interactions. And I mean, I don't think it had a direct role in the way that Bayern came back into the game. I think that was more about the individual quality of Sané with the equaliser, and then the individual ability of Musiala to bring about the foul from which Kane scored. But it was certainly part of changing the picture and affecting the comfort that Real Madrid had for the part of the first half. After they'd scored the goal, they did look comfortable for the second half of the first half.
Richard mentioned him there, Jamal Musiala. He enjoyed playing a role in tonight's game.
You see the history both teams have and the intensity of the game. You saw at what level we both had to play to even get a draw out of this. But yeah, looking forward to the second leg. I think you can look at some positives and negatives from the game. We created lots of chances, which we could have done better. I think we defended quite well. Of course, the Real Madrid have lots of quality to create something out of nothing, and they did. I think we could have defended that a bit better, and I think we could have came out of here with a win. That's why it's kind of a little bit disappointing, but we'll keep our head high and going into Bernabeu.
What do we make of his performance tonight? I mean, he really does feel like top-level Champions League player now for Bayern.
Yeah, I believe that the game gave him a chance to shine, because I said before that any sudden spasm was unsettling the defences. Any player taking some risks was normally successful. We've seen that with Leroy Sané, we've seen that with Vinicius, and with Jamal Musiala as well. I think that the defences sometimes were a little bit rigid. The game wasn't always played at the highest possible rhythm, so when someone accelerated, someone with pace like Jamal Musiala, was making the difference. I think that he did a very good game. Richard referred to the fact that Guerreiro brought in the second half, provoked that Bayern had a lot of danger on the left with Mazraoui, but Musiala and Guerreiro over there just passing the ball, having a conversation with the ball. And I think that, yeah, he did a very good game, and he proved again that he's the kind of footballer that he can individually make a difference, a little bit like Leroy Sané. Then the game needed that, Bayern needed that, after being a little bit too formulaic in the first half, in the sense that everyone wanted to pass the ball. You know, some players sometimes they have to show the talent, and Jamal Musiala said, okay, I'm gonna try to leave a man behind like Lucas Vázquez. He did it, and therefore things changed and things happened.
Interesting to see what happens in the second leg when Dani Carvajal is back from suspension, yeah, because he was missing tonight. Yeah. Of course, a defender of that experience and that quality is always going to be a miss. No matter how many times Lucas Vázquez has played in that position, you know, Carvajal is first choice. So that's another something else to throw into the mix. But I thought Musiala, first Champions League semi-final for him tonight. Feels like, again, he's been at this level for ages, yeah, but here's a young man stepping up again and excellent, really good.
It was a game actually where Jude Bellingham was taken off, wasn't he, with 15 minutes to go when Real Madrid were still in the mix for going on to win the match. What did you make of his performance today? Because a lot was made of the fact it was Bellingham one side and Kane on the other. We even saw Bellingham trying to get in Kane's ear before the penalty, and the referee went, no, go away, leave him alone.
I think Bellingham's going to be more influential in the second leg. I think we can probably say that. I mean, in the first half, it with Real Madrid sitting off Bayern, they weren't controlling the ball for great lengths of time. I mean, he didn't really have any kind of opportunity to score. His was a sort of funny hybrid role, really, between defender and, you know, creator on the counter-attack. And it didn't really fall to him as often as it regularly has this season.
Yeah, I think that maybe he was a little bit uncomfortable in the first half. I believe that Carlo Ancelotti must have told his strikers, Bellingham, Vinicius and Rodrigo today, look, press positionally a little bit, but don't track back a lot, because if you track back a lot and we defend that deep, then we will create no counter-attacks. And I think that Bellingham, Vinicius and Rodrigo at some point, they look slightly detached from the defensive duties, but I do believe that that was their homework. So Jude Bellingham has done that. And in the second half, he had a couple of good appearances next to the edge of the box, but maybe the game was more made for the fast footballers like Rodrigo, Sané or Musiala.
Thoughts ahead of the second leg then? Real Madrid favourites?
Yeah,
would you have Real Madrid's favourites?
They have to be. They have to be. I mean, what home game do they go into when they're not favourites? But listen, they'll have full respect for Bayern and they'll know how and where Bayern can hurt them. That doesn't necessarily mean that Bayern, you know, will be prevented from hurting them, because they do have the individual ability that we've referred to. But you would fancy a Real Madrid side with Carvajal back. I don't know, would they think about restoring Eder Militao maybe to the defence by then? Courtois was on the bench tonight, yeah. Who hasn't played all season, although I don't think Lunin's done anything wrong, but here's a man who's, you know, not single-handedly almost won them the final 2 years ago. So there are some calls to make for Carlo Ancelotti, as there always will be at a club like that. Slight favourites, but no more.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that Bayern is dangerous, and at Santiago Bernabeu, sometimes Real Madrid lets you play. And if you let Bayern play counter-attack, they will fancy their chances, that's for sure. But there is one thing that has to be said about Real Madrid, and it cannot be detached from the equation, is the fact that they have lost only one game this season. They have lost only against Atletico de Madrid in La Liga, that was back in September. They haven't lost any other game in 90 minutes of football, because yes, they lost against Atletico in the Super Cup back in January, but that wasn't a regular defeat in 90 minutes. When it comes to playing 90 minutes of football, they have only suffered one defeat in what? Around 47, 48 games this season. That's quite impressive. They have been really, really reliable. So that's why I'm saying that Real Madrid is a slightly favorite, because they are playing at home. They haven't been eliminated at home in the Champions League for 5 years now. But I understand that the Bayern is very dangerous as well. So in any chance, they can score a goal.
More on this game to come. Harry Kane, by the way, has now been directly involved in 11 goals in the Champions League, the most by an English player in a single campaign in the competition. 8 goals, 3 assists. Could have had more had Leroy Sané been slightly more ruthless in that first half. Still to come on the show, we're going to look ahead to Wednesday night's other semi-final.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
So the first semi-final is well underway, and the other last four tie gets going on Wednesday. We are back from 8 p.m. CEST as Borussia Dortmund host Paris Saint-Germain. Jack Winstanley has more.
More than 80,000 fans will be packed into the Bay Stadion on Wednesday as Borussia Dortmund look to make the most of home advantage. Oh, Expect another spine-tingling rendition of You'll Never Walk Alone from the Yellow Wall before kickoff, and then enjoy the first leg of a tie, which could be goal-laden if this season is anything to go by.
Mbappe to the edge of the area. Mbappe!
And the shot is driven in by Felix Nemecha.
Dortmund have scored 15 times en route to the last four, whilst Paris have found the back of the net on 19 occasions. The French champions secured their semi-final spot in thrilling fashion against Barcelona.
It comes through for Ousmane Dembélé to thump it in. Is Vitinha to have a hit? Oh, brilliant goal! It's a powerful penalty, and Paris Saint-Germain lead on aggregate.
It's a semi-final of the Champions League. It's always difficult. It will be two difficult matches. We're going to be ready when that day comes.
Paris midfielder Vitinha there. Whilst they beat Barcelona, Dortmund had a second leg comeback against Spanish opposition of their own.
Sabitzer with the early cross! Oh, it's a brilliant glancing header by Niklas Füllkrug! Another goal in Germany! Now Sabitzer, room to shoot! Marcel Sabitzer has scored for Dortmund! Two goals in 3 minutes! It's absolute bedlam!
So either Dortmund or Paris will join one of tonight's two teams in the final at Wembley. Tomorrow's first leg is the third time they've met this season, given they were paired together in the group stage.
Hakimi has continued his run. Hakimi! Oh, that's brilliant!
Drops inside the area. Füllkrug's there. Plays it across goal and turned in. It's Adeyemi. Breaks towards the edge of the area and that shot smashed it. Warren Zaire-Emery.
Dortmund won Group F, but it was Paris who did better in their two meetings with a win at home and a draw in Germany. We'll have an hour of the best build-up before tomorrow's match, including interviews with Jadon Sancho and Ashraf Hakimi. Don't miss night two of this season's semi-finals.
Jack Winstanley reporting there. Good news for Borussia Dortmund in the last 24 hours or so that Sebastian Haller, after an ankle injury that saw him miss the second leg of the Atletico tie, has been seen in training, so we wait to see if he'll be involved for Borussia Dortmund. Wouldn't likely be a starter anyway because of Niklas Füllkrug, who scored against Atletico in the quarterfinals, but some options have off the bench, as we've seen from him this season in Madrid in that first leg. Rami Bentabaini out with a knee problem, but they did sign Ian Mattson from Chelsea on loan in the winter window, so Cav Cabra at left back. And Paris Saint-Germain in pretty good shape, actually, going into this one. Presnel Kimpembe, he's been out for ages with that Achilles injury. That is still the case. And Hakimi and Dembélé expected to start back at their old club. What excites you the most about a tie, Alvaro, that we're seeing in the semi-finals that we also saw in the group stage this season?
I think that this game is going to be electric. That's the thing. I think that Paris has been one of the good sides of the Champions League. Yes, they struggled to go through the group stage because they were playing in a very difficult group. But then they've been really entertaining. Paris has scored 10 goals in the knockout round of the Champions League. Mm. I mean, that's an average of 2.5 goals per game so far. So they've been attacking, they've been scoring, they've been enjoyable. And when it comes to Dortmund, you know, they have beaten PSV, then Atletico de Madrid, and I think that in both encounters, ties, they show that whenever they have a good attacking spell, they can produce many chances in a short space of time. So even if Paris dominates the game and they have most of the possession, Dortmund will have their time and they will have their moment. This is what appeals me about this game, that it can be very electric. Of course, I am intrigued as well about what is the next tweak in Luis Enrique's book, you know?
Yeah, talk to us about this, Alvaro, and the things he's done in the knockout stages this season.
Of course, in the second leg at the Real Arena against Real Sociedad, he played Dembélé as a number 10 for the first time, probably in the Champions League, definitely in the Champions League. Then he tried to play with Marco Asensio as a false number 9 against Barcelona. That didn't quite work, but in the second leg against Barcelona, he spotted that Ronald Araujo was probably the player who had the more issues to play from the back for Barcelona, and he gave the ball to Ronald Araujo, and a ball lost by Ronald Araujo led to the red card to the Uruguayan, and from that moment onwards, Paris...
Game-changing moment, wasn't it?
It was a defining moment in that tie. And yeah, I think that Luis Enrique's hand has had a translation. Luis Enrique's ideas have had a translation in the games, in a way that has to be said, because the manager from Spain is very capable of, you know, creating, envisaging the moments that will be important in the game, and he takes action.
It is, by the way, Borussia Dortmund's only their fourth Champions League semi-final, and it's their first since 2013 when they reached Wembley and took on Bayern. Yeah. That's a possible rematch at the same venue this season. They beat Real Madrid, Robert Lewandowski scoring four goals on that famous night. And I wonder to what extent, Alvaro, you think it's important that Dortmund take advantage of home advantage, given the atmosphere that the BVB Stadium can generate?
Very important. It's the atmosphere that there will be there. I think that the players will have the belief that they can beat Paris. I think that Borussia Dortmund has to take the positives of the first two games against Paris. They probably learn what the weak points of the side of Luis Enrique are, even though Paris is a different team now to what they were in October, November, December. And as I said before, this is going to be a very interesting game. I want to see how the big stars step up and show their quality as well, because Kylian Mbappe, after
being... We haven't even mentioned him yet, have we?
No, and you know, he's been rested in the Ligue 1, by the way. Congratulations to Paris, because they have won another title. And, you know, I'm sure that the big players will try to leave their print in the game, and Kylian Mbappe has done it so far in this Champions League.
Yeah, he was able to rest players at the weekend, Luis Enrique, yeah, in the league, while Dortmund was still going for fourth in the Bundesliga, but were beaten by the team in fourth, Leipzig, at the weekend. Coverage of that game, by the way, you can listen to live on UEFA.com, on the Champions League app as well, on Wednesday night. Let's turn our attention back to the other game in Germany, where it, as a reminder, finished Bayern 2, Real Madrid 2. Let's hear from Bayern's Harry Kane next, who's already looking ahead to the second leg.
The game is all to play for next week, I think. Overall, it's a little disappointment from us. I think when we were 2-1 up, we had real momentum in the game that we could have got the third goal. We had a big chance from the set pieces, and we had two or three half chances that we could have done better with. So, yeah, whenever you're 2-1 up in a big game and you don't come away with a win, of course, you come away a little disappointed. But, you know, overall, 2-2, basically 0-0 going there next week. Big game, semi-final at the Bernabeu. That's what you play football for. So we have a week now to prepare, and there are some good things out there that we can take and hopefully use that for next week.
Well, as he hinted there, this is part of the reason he joined Bayern, isn't he? What do you make to his assessment there, Alvaro?
Well, I think he stays with the positives, and this is the right approach, really. Bayern has nothing to lament. I mean, they drew with Real Madrid 2-2, everything is open, the away goal rule doesn't count anymore. I mean, a draw for Bayern can do, take the game to the extra time, and Bayern has been competitive, and that's the most important thing. And I do believe that they've got the right mentality to go at Santiago Bernabeu, to believe that they can get something from that.
Bayern away at Stuttgart, the team third in the table. They've been challenging them up at the top of the table the weekend. But you imagine Bayern will rest players, having already lost out on the title to Leverkusen. And Madrid can win the league this weekend, but you imagine something similar might happen in their league game. Now that the dust has settled a little bit, Richard, what have been your kind of feelings about what we've seen tonight in Munich?
I think it's really significant for Bayern that Leroy Sané's on the score sheet again. I mean, that would have been weighing heavily on him personally, the fact that he hadn't scored since the end of October. No matter how many contributions he's made in other ways, to find the net is special. He's done it on a really big occasion. The chances of him getting another, you know, close at hand and playing a key role in the second leg are higher as a result. He's a key man for them. I think Bayern will have to score in the second leg to even get it to extra time. Real Madrid have scored now in 33 consecutive games in all competitions. They're going to score at home. Bayern are going to have to go there with an attitude of playing. It's not going to be about holding on. I don't think that's when they're at their best anyway. But, I think a tremendous second leg awaits.
And I would like to praise Tchouaméni, because he started the game as a midfielder for Real Madrid tonight, and then he had to play as a centre-back in the second half. He has done very well in both positions. He's a footballer that is settling in Real Madrid little by little. The first season wasn't easy, but I do believe that he is learning a lot from having played as a centre-back. Today, some of his blocks were really, really good and really key for Bayern not to score. So congratulations to Aurelien Tchouaméni.
On the other side, I'd like to praise Konrad Leimer as well. In the midfield, he was dogged and really effective. I mean, there were times where he was just ubiquitous. It's just everywhere. You know, he's played a few times at right back, more than a few, but Bayern do look a good side with him in midfield and Kimmich restored to that right back position.
Let's give the last word to Real Madrid's German defender, Antonio Rudiger.
We made it sometimes easy for them, especially after the first half. When they come out, they make pressure and they score twice. But yeah, we are still alive, and for us it's a good result, and everything is still open for the second game. It's in the DNA of the club to never give up, to do everything, to not leave the shirt white, fight till the end of the game, and that's what we always do, and we are capable of scoring at any time.
There is that Real Madrid confidence, and we'll see it in the second leg next week, I'm sure, after it finishes all square in the first semi-final. Who will take the upper hand in the other semi-final clash? UEFA Champions League Matchday Live will bring you all the build-up, as well as full live commentary from 8 p.m. CEST on Wednesday, as Borussia Dortmund host Paris Saint-Germain. And this podcast will be available shortly after full time, so make sure to subscribe and download via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.